96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. And this is C.A. Nuri, and I am here with Aaron Green. We have on our Wednesday show, our, what did you call it? Smackdown?
Mashdown?
I mean, you're the one.
Mandown. I'm going to call it Mandown Wednesday.
You are the wordsmith, so I don't necessarily know what type of thing she's been saying.
I like you caused me to change it. I like Mandown.
Mandown. Because you look like you're getting bullied on your own show. I was watching.
It sounds like that, you know, but I like that. You know why? Because you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
That's what it is.
You want to be in charge, you got to take the heat.
Yes.
Man won't stand at the head. Well, man, the buck got to stop with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I ain't attacking you and I ain't attacking man generally. But I'm saying to men out there, you can't just say that you are the head of the household. You got to be the head of the household. You can't just say you's man and you run the town. You got to run the town. I don't like to talk to gangsters. Who likes to talk to gangsters except politicians? Story in the paper.
Toogie and Bobo.
Stew fish. The best dish. Mm-hmm. But if you can be a gangster and talk about you run turf, then how could things like children and women being molested on your turf take place and you still call yourself man?
True.
How could people not be eaten on your turf and you call yourself man? It don't make any sense. I mean, it makes sense. But what I would say is, I wouldn't say you ain't man and you ain't the head. What I would say is stop putting so much pressure on yourself to do things that you can't possibly do on your own.
You ain't ready for that.
And Aaron, before we pivot on different subjects, because I know you have a list of things we want to discuss, I wanted to get your opinion, being the only female here. I don't think that the narrative, the debate, the discussion about this marital rape is complete and wholesome. And when I say, when I'm saying that is that, inclusive of the need for the law, the rape law, to make sure that it's illegal for a husband to rape his wife, there should be some kind of educational process where men and young boys in particular can appreciate that this aggression, this ill treatment, this ownership of this thought of owning a woman is wrong. I don't necessarily see that's happening. I see in all the women's groups are up in arms and pushing the issue that this law needs to come on the books, whereas there are men who still do not understand why we need this. There are boys who are saying that a part of my sexuality, a part of my dating is me being aggressive, and the young girls love it. They want me to box them around in
the
order to
said.
Get...
And the UB study
is saying that Luby, this is how they date. This is what they call sexuality.
Culture
what they find.
Again.
Yes, it is our culture. So I think in addition of this, trying to explain that we need the law and trying to get it passed, there should be some conversation in schools where children, where Christian deacons and pastors understand that there's no need to slap your wife and take it no more. Ask her.
Well, listen.
You know, cajole.
I think those conversations are happening.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
What, like, any woman talk to you? any old gentleman and say, well,
when
this
we
is
have,
wrong. I had no conversation.
When we've had David Williams on and the International Men's Day group, I don't think the conversations are marital rape advocacy specific. I don't think, I don't think the conversations start like, hey, listen, these foreigners trying to get us to do this law, so we have to have this class. But I think that men's groups are talking about these issues in various ways, right? But I think that's important. But if you look at today's paper, and I think it is in The Guardian, there is an article about another study. In fact, there are two studies, UB study. The title.
They saying more men being aggressive and beating up women again? Because all of UB studies suggesting that we men are violent inside the Bahamas. I don't like it.
But the study you referenced suggested that some of the young girls say they like it or they supposed to like. They know they supposed to like it even if they don't like it.
Mm.
But the headline is "Study: Marital Rape a Significant Concern." One of the stats I pulled from it quickly this morning, 72% of men 18 to 24 years surveyed in the study think marital rape should be illegal. And it says that males 55 years and older were less inclined than younger men to agree marital rape can occur. So what we're seeing is we're seeing shifts in attitudes in younger generations of Bahamian men.
Good.
Right? So I think the conversations have been taking place, are taking place. I think there may not be visible advocacy, visible public engagement, social awareness, but I think attitudes are shifting, and I think there needs to be, though, a complement of public and social engagement.
And also, throw into there the church. The church has a role to play in helping men and even women to understand their roles.
Yeah.
And maybe because the church doesn't agree with this whole marital rape thing in the first place, maybe because some of the clergy feel as if they're being attacked or left out and not centered, they're pulling back from doing that part of it.
And I'll quicken to say that the Anglican bishop has made a public statement. This is the position of the church. But what is who is noticeably silent is Mario Moxie, right? Lyle, Pastor Lyle. They ain't saying nothing about this marital rape. What is their words?
I just imagined that.
What are their words?
I just imagined that Cedric Moss was fairly and accurately representing their sentiments, because Pastor Cedric Moss has been engaging both on social media and in the public domain through radio engagement.
Is he a part of some board or something?
Well, no, he's not. But
he has his own church, his own membership.
Right. I know him personally.
But that body of pastors tend to agree on these theological issues, and I just saw that he was sort of representing a sentiment from that sector of the local religious community.
But let's pivot. Let's pivot.
But if we look at the UB situation,
you had a part where I say pivot?
I'm
sorry.
Man down.
All right.
I want to talk about what's happening in Abaco, because I had that on yesterday with the Member of Parliament, Pinder, and now the Member of North Abaco, and his opinion. All of them all of a sudden have got an epiphany that there's an immigration problem in Abaco. But I want also add to this mix. I see the Minister of Foreign Affairs and now the Commodore of the Defense Force say, man, we can send some Defense Force officers to go to war in Haiti. And I said, what? Did anyone ask the Defense Force officers that they want, they're interested in going to Haiti to fight?
Who said it was a war?
There's not a war. You know, you didn't see the videos we're shooting? They're shooting over there.
But have they declared it as a war yet?
Well, I declared it as a war. I declared it as a crisis. And I'm not sure if I want to send our officers in any kind of war zone, urban war zone, where our Defense Force officers are not trained to go in a place where the people look like them, where you'd kind of identify who the enemy is, because they're not dressed in no fatigue. And the enemy could be the little girl next to you sitting down and say, well, you got to get bananas and feed the family, so therefore you shoot anyone who passed there.
I was in a fight.
I am concerned.
I was just parking and bracing and not caring.
And what I'm even more concerned is because of the tension we now have, right, with Haitian Bahamians, Haitians nationals, and Bahamians right now. I'm not sure if the Bahamas can stomach knowing that any of our citizens, that boys who we send over to Haiti to defend them or to protect them.
And girls,
you know, to say that we had a casualty of war. That dynamics can cause a whole type of contempt and hate amongst us, and I believe in concern. I'm going to go to this caller, and then I'm going to let our guest respond to that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, Lord.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Sparky here.
Go ahead, Sparky.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question in regards to the religious conversation you had going on in the first show. Basically, my question is, when we talk about in our preamble, it's all said that this is a Christian, we're not a Christian nation, we are Christian, what did it say, we are Christian nation?
Principles.
Now, first of all, I'm 71, but I'm an Anglican, okay? So take it to be on my baptism card and all that type of stuff. Now, I was inducted into the Anglican faith as a child when I was born in 1951. 6 months after, they did the ritual, they took me there, they baptized me. At 12 years old, 12 to 13 years old, then they confirmed me into the Anglican Church. All of this was being done by my parents because basically all of those were Anglicans, and maybe if you go down the line, their grandparents were and so forth. So I became part of this denomination without my consent. And actually, I was not permitted to do anything on my own until I was 18. Excuse me. So for 18 years, you actually brainwashed me to be in this particular religion. If I want to change my religion, then I got to go through and learn what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And those are the people that every time they came in my yard, my parents, they locked the door, way home, tell them to get out of here. I don't know why they was telling them that.
Training for BPL.
But what I'm saying is, Ms. Green, is that we went through all of this brainwashing in the King James version of the Bible that was written in 604, released in 611 by 47 Oxford scholars, translating the Catholic Latin Bible into English. All of this was done and then was pumped into me. But if I decide to change at any given time, we notice in our country, how often do talk shows or anything allow Muslims to come on and give their opinion on talk shows? We always only bring on Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, what we call the Christian thing. We pump the Christian thing into us and constantly say we are a Christian nation because it's constantly pumped into us. And anything that goes against that, we say you're a heathen or you don't believe in God. Because I say Allahu Akbar, Assalamu Alaikum, you get mad at me and say I am not a Christian. No, but that was only the Arabic language. And all I said was God is great and I greet you in peace.
And I appreciate you, man. And I appreciate the topic. And I can have us discuss that right now. But I want to speak to my guests, and I'm not sure if everyone join it, right? Ian, are we in an immigration crisis at this present time? Are we overwhelmed? Can our defense force go and render assistance in Haiti? Should we even go and render assistance in Haiti? I want to hear some commentary on that.
In my opinion, CA, I believe that Haiti has its problem, its instability that's been happening. It's not just started. It's been happening for quite some time. And I think neighboring countries have now endured because of their hardships or because of the struggles of what they are going through as a people. I think that some persons are looking for freedom to live, not the lifestyle that they're living in Haiti, et cetera, but a lifestyle worth living for. It's my opinion that the Haitians' problem is a Haitians problem. The only way the solution for Haiti will come from the Haitians. We know that the outer countries or nations, they were a part of that problem, also the causing the problems in Haiti. When we sent persons in there prior from the UN, et cetera, statistics would prove that these men went in there and slept with little girls, so forth, and
but
caused
Ian,
all of the problems.
Let's keep the conversation about
the
Bahamas.
Bahamas now. I'm telling
yes,
about the Bahamas.
I want to talk about the Bahamas.
That's alarming because what I have to do is basically speak on what make them do what they do and make them coming over here. Mm. Now, our problem is now they're becoming our problem because they're here. Now, whether they're here illegally, we don't know the census to say how many of them are in here illegally. And then the pretenses of the persons that are already born here, we don't know where the status was, if their parents was illegal or here on a job permit. We don't know none of these things. But we do know that the law states what the law states. The Constitution states what it is. So we don't have an illegal migrant problem per se. We have an enforcement of the law. If the people that are responsible to securing the borders and security of our people internally, if they do their jobs, that means we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, I think that's the question of whether there's a crisis or not, right? It is a matter of the question, is the strategy to reduce migration from Haiti to the Bahamas separate from the strategy to monitor and manage undocumented landings, right? It's two separate things happening.
Thank you. And that's what kind of came to my mind also, Aaron, as Ian said, you know, Haiti's problem is Haiti's problem. I do understand the sentiments. I do believe that Haiti must be at the forefront of the solution and the changes from within their country. Do we have an immigration crisis?
I don't necessarily have a position on that one. I won't say yes or no. Do we have an immigration issue? Problems? We do, but to the level of a crisis?
Mr. Pinder, the MP, said that y'all make up 73% of the birth rate. I'm sorry, y'all, forgive me.
Hold on, did he say
according
that?
According to who?
That's what, yeah, just read your notes, actually. Read that.
No, that's something back in 73%
of the birth rate.
In Abaco.
So question.
In Abaco. So they have the is of people of, I'm just reading what
people
the,
of Haitian descent. Of Haitian descent. People of Haitian descent. But
right.
That's not crisis.
And, but no,
but
no,
people of Haitian descent. But does that mean undocumented? Does that necessarily mean 73% of births in Abaco are from persons irregular status, undocumented?
And there's a couple of other inserts there, right? Culturally, do Abaconians tend to go to the U.S. to deliver their babies?
Or
to New Providence to deliver their babies, right? And so is it that those who remain are those who could not afford to go to New Providence or to go to the U.S. Mm-hmm. to have the baby? There are a number of things that have to be questioned before we come to a determination.
You're saying the number might be skewed.
Man, we got UB doing all types of studies. Like, why don't we engage UB and some other institutions and let them do some studies on some stuff? That's just what I'm saying.
But I would assume that most of those students that they would have asked that the statistics from would have been females, right? Because it's overrun with females rather than males.
The question of whether there's a crisis or not, right? Have we ever seen this number, this amount of movement, migration coming out of Haiti? Have we ever seen this documentation of landings, right? Is that the crisis? Are we seeing extraordinary numbers there? Or is the crisis the inability of the state to manage something that ought to be manageable?
You know, I just think that we're not having realistic conversations around this migration thing, especially when it comes to Abaco. Let us be real with ourselves. There is a high demand
for labor.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Very high demand. You're talking about an island. That was what, our third?
It generates one-third of our GDP.
Okay, so behind Nassau, Freeport, you got Abaco.
No, Abaco is before Freeport.
Before Freeport, yes, now. Sir. Okay, so she surpassed Freeport. Okay, cool. You're talking about Marsh Harbor being the central hub of that entire economy. Basically, you think Abaco, Marsh Harbor, and some of the keys, surrounding keys. So the other parts of Abaco, you could just forget about those for now, right? You have a massive need for labor. In Abaco, there is a massive housing, and now that's the crisis in Abaco, housing. And we're not talking about that.
No, and
you need the labor. Abaco needs to be rebuilt. It is being rebuilt, but where are the people going to live? I mean, the teachers, government workers, when they were going down there, people had to live RVs.
But Luby, that's a give and a take, Aaron, because the thing, when I want to just interject what Luby said there, it's a situation of labor to compare to you're actually squatting on land as an illegal migrant, or you're squatting on land. Hold on. You're squatting on land that you have no permission on, and Bahamians don't have the exact same right. Because when Bahamians not going to town planning, if we do not go to town planning, our buildings will be knocked down.
The point.
But you can't just throw it up and say we need labor.
Let me speak for a moment.
Let's charge the people who are hiring you.
You missing the point. Let me start here. It could take me a couple of minutes. Let me start here, but only two. How could the mud, the farm, the shanty town expand from 50 acres to 200 acres if them people wasn't waking? Listen to what I'm telling you.
Look at you.
How could that expand if those people wasn't waking?
Private land.
No, but they're there for a reason.
Pause. You're missing the point. First of all, how could they afford to expand if they wasn't waking?
They buying supplies.
Not paying tax.
No,
they buying supplies.
Paying taxes.
But they buying supplies.
Hold on, Ian, I need you to pause for a second.
Okay.
Because you ain't going to have money to pay tax unless you're waking. This article, MP sounds alarm on illegal migrants. Now, John Pinder says some very concerning things, but he says some things that actually make sense. You have to focus on the employer. Mm-hmm. Those people are there working. They are being paid by Bahamians. They are actually building Abaco. If they
with legal status.
Right. And undocumented, but with legal status. And
for the most part, yes.
But the government must know that those people are there. And the government does know
the people there.
That they have a legal obligation to go in there and to determine who should be there and who shouldn't be there. And then to make the employers who are responsible for the work permits answer to the question, why did you not provide government-regulated housing for your employees?
Well, have them stay at your residence.
See, that's the question. What didn't make sense with what John Pinder was saying is, ain't nobody actually knows how many people in Abaco.
No.
So this whole conversation is a bunch of hogwash.
We don't know how many people are in Abaco.
We don't know how many Bahamians in Abaco. We don't know how many documented migrants, Haitian and otherwise, are in Abaco. We don't know how many undocumented migrants are in Abaco. It appears as if we don't know how many people are moving in and out of Abaco on a daily basis.
And I think as a leader, I think it was very reckless of him. And we see our leaders continue to do it. Approach the conversation of migration from the standpoint of undocumented, irregular, and using the term illegal loosely. We start from there. We automatically assume that persons are illegal first. So we're saying illegals are building this. Illegals are moving through. The illegals are beginning to outnumber. Did you do some survey? Did you interview?
But let me add this to the mix. But the last survey we did of the pigeon pee and the mud, we realized that up to 80% of the population there, the migrant population there, had status, varying status, up to 80. You could say, I believe it even to go up to near 90%. Is the people who have moved into the farm, are they former residents of the mud and the pigeon pee? And these are the same people who had documents.
From my experience, yes.
Right? And say, okay, I have documents. I'm into the Bahamas for whatever reason. And I have just now migrated to a different spot. So therefore, they aren't technically illegal or undocumented migrants, but are the migrants that was always there, just who have relocated. But they ain't doing no census or no study.
I'd like to have an input on that.
Go ahead. I actually have a caller here, too. So
make it quick. Yeah. I know there is a thin line when we get on this. It's a touchy situation. But we have a Department of Labor that is responsible. The Department of Labor that is responsible to knowing who is unemployed. And they have a survey that comes into them to know just what's happening. That's the Department of Labor. Mm-hmm. The Department of Immigration, the Minister of Immigration is also the Minister of Labor. Mm-hmm. So immigration then has a responsibility to know who all are getting permits and what means are they getting these permits. So all of these things starts and it ends with that. If they need military forces, we have a defense force. If they need to know statistically who all employed and the gainful employed, if it's right or wrong, we have the Department of Labor. We have immigration that has on the books to enforce the law. If you're legal or if your time is expired and you need to go home, then go home.
You know,
what just can't say you can stay here and build housing without permission to build it. You can't do that.
But Ian, you missing the point.
I don't mind hiring you. I worry about getting to the root of the problem.
No, but the root of the problem is who hiring. You missing the point. You live in a capitalist society. I mean, okay, I got 17 texts to read. Watch this. There is anecdotal evidence that reports by teachers and state actors and community members moving in and out of Abaco that there have been children who were abandoned by the effects of Dorian living in the bush in Abaco. And nobody cares about those children living in the bush in Abaco. Sorry. But you're all trying to run every single migrant out of the Bahamas, whether they waken or not waken. It's a little thing about, you know, it's a little thing about perspective there. The crisis is not in the Haitian migration. The crisis is in Haiti, right? Migration is regular. The actual crisis that we should be focused on is why have our government systems collapsed to the point where 3 years after the most devastating natural disaster in your country's history, you have no idea what the movement of people is in and out of that island that was devastated by that hurricane, that is subject to review by several intra-governmental organizations, that right and people lending us money.
Something went wrong. You have no idea what
is happening in Abaco. That is the crisis. Don't put the crisis on the backs of the Haitians. Migration is what we do. Because in the same way, I can tell you, where is the space that I could go, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, a government office, and find out what are the migration numbers for Bahamians leaving the Bahamas? Where are they going? How are they getting there? How are they being returned? How are they returning? Are they being deported? Is that information there as well? Because then we could do a study and we could compare the two and we could get a real sense of what the problem is. Maybe everybody migrating out of the region. Maybe we are all affected by the same problem, right? But it's just easier and more trendy for Bahamians to migrate.
And Aaron, I have a call here, so let me pass him through. I see they keep on calling and hang up. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patrick, call it through. Hello? Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you now.
Okay. Can you hear me good?
Well and clear.
Listen, this is what gets, I guess, most Bahamians frustrated with this argument or this discussion. It's always persons who advocate for foreigners for everybody else but Bahamians. As you listen to your panelists, is everybody making excuses for the or crying victim for Haitians, but no one seems to be standing up for persons who are frustrated as Bahamians. And this is why what may happen eventually, if Bahamians feel like they're not being heard and always a deflection or excuse is being made for everybody else but Bahamians, because we have to follow the law, regardless of if we grew up with nothing or we didn't grow up with whatever, we have to follow the law. Correct? Yes or no?
I guess.
So at the end of the day, this is just a generous argument. Once again, you are persons advocating for the Haitians, but no one seems to be fighting for Bahamians. And y'all might don't like Lincoln Bean, but his particular movement is getting traction because finally it seems that someone is hearing Bahamians, finally. And all I'm saying is, when you do these particular surveys, who say that these people are telling the truth? If I'm a legal immigrant, you think I will tell you the truth or make myself available to tell you that I am a legal immigrant? How can we verify that the statistics that's being submitted are actually real? So all I'm saying is, let's have a real discussion and not just one biased argument that the Haitians are always the victim and Bahamians are big bullies and we don't like this and like that. What's happening, because I'm from Abaco, and I'm telling you, it's not as cut and dry as these panelists on your radio station are saying. Every time I hear this argument, it's always one-sided. And I'm going to close right now. As Bahamians, we want to feel like we are being heard for once in our country. This thing going on for decades. This thing just happened. And sitting there and making it sound like the Haitians are so, they don't know that they're breaking the law, that they're so, oh my God, I didn't even know that I broke the law. I didn't know I shouldn't supposed to build.
But no one really is saying that, no, caller.
No, I'm saying this is how...
And I'll ask you this. Would you agree, or would you at least acknowledge that Abaco was built off Haitian labor also?
Yeah, listen to me. At the end of the day, I agree. We need, just like Canada or any place you want to migrate to, I think it should be. I have no problem with...
And my next question to you is...
Let me just finish. So when I hang up, you can have the floor and you can be able to say what you want to say. I wouldn't be able
to... I wanted to engage you. That's what I was trying to do.
All right, go ahead.
So my next question to you is... who is hiring these migrants in
Abaco? Because you're sitting inside the studio, all the panelists in the studio, I'm on the ground in Abaco, and from I only can speak anecdotally, just like how you guys, you only speak from anecdotal, because you're all not on the ground here. It's a lot of persons of Haitian descent are hiring persons of Haitian or heritage as well. You guys might not believe that, and you might say, oh, only the Bahamians. I'm telling you.
So you're saying that the largest hirers, employers in Abaco are people of Haitian descent?
I think I see that once again. You can't speak to the night.
No, you said that. I was trying to ask.
So why? Hold on.
Let me finish this. Let me just make my point. I just want to finish it. You ask me a question. Let me just finish it. I'm simply saying, based on what I'm seeing, that's out of the pair. Can I accurately speak to that?
You've answered the question, and we gave you the space to answer the question. What I would like to ask you is, why is saying that Bahamian government systems are failing, and that's the crisis, not paying attention. Hold on. I'm still asking you the question.
Sure, go ahead.
When we say that the Bahamian government system's failing is the crisis, mm-hmm. because the failure of that system fails mm-hmm. Bahamians, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. How is it that we're taking up for Haitians? It's Bahamians who have allowed their system to fail. And that's and the second thing is, you will continue to feel unheard if you continue to only talk to politicians who you think are listening to you.
But that's the point.
You had an opportunity to speak.
You're not even.
Hold on, dear caller. I listened to the entire thing that you said. I did not interject until Cecil began asking questions. Mm-hmm. So don't act as if you were being attacked, even though when you called, you made it very clear that you had an issue with some of the panelists, right? We're not doing that. I let you speak and you're going to let me speak. How can you say that we are only taking up for Haitians if we ask the question, if the crisis is in the failure of Bahamian systems, aren't Bahamians being failed also? How is that an attack against Bahamians?
Could I speak now?
Go ahead, sir.
Simply because this isn't the first time I've heard this discussion. That's why I don't listen to the station as much, because usually most of the talking points are from a liberal standpoint, right? And so it's not. Usually when I hear Aaron speak, it's usually in defense of one right. particular side over the other. So I'm only going based on the trend I hear on this station. It's really for a standstill from the human aspect. It's usually from the victimology or the poor Haitian aspect. And I'm saying, let's have it balanced on the objective. That's what I'm saying. Both sides to be heard.
It's pretty balanced, because I consider myself to being an organic Bahamian. And so with that being said, I concur with
what
you said.
Who am I speaking with now? I'm not sure which person I'm talking to.
This is Ian.
Go ahead, Ian.
I'm agreeing to what you're saying, that the Bahamians are frustrated. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I see the problems that we're having. And this is what is arising, the attention, like you said, to those particular persons that are in the forefront saying Bahamian, Bahamian, Bahamian. I'm mm-hmm. saying also, is that if the people that are responsible to do their jobs, if they mm-hmm. are actually doing their job, then that will help the problems that we're going through as Bahamians that are causing the frustration here in this mm-hmm. country.
I just want to make one point. What do you do? What is the what's the process for Bahamians to do? If me, myself,
and
it's
very simple. The answer is very simple. The only way that Bahamians could fix this problem is to do the work that they refuse to do. You ask the question. You ask the question, and I'm going to answer it for you. You said it was your last point. And we came to an impasse.
The response
to the Haitian migrant crisis is to make Haitians obsolete. If there is nothing for the Haitian migrant to do in the Bahamas, there is no reason for him to be here. The simple response that it's empathic, right? It includes empathy. It's a moral response. It's an ethical response. It's an economic response. It's a legal response. The only thing you could do is work and encourage your fellow Bahamians to work and to do all the work. And no matter what it costs or how hard or degrading the work is, to do it and to commit to doing whatever needs to be done in your country. That's all you could do.
The other side is shut down. Like you, I can't even get a word to an edge.
Man, Detex, you know I'm not the host right now, so I could say to you that you shut the whole conversation down by referring to them other people in the room. You created this antagonistic.
Aaron. Let him conclude so I can go to the next caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, my last point is, the stuff that you're saying has been done for decades.
No, it hasn't.
Your person's. The point I'm making is, you agitate. You write letters. You try to do it.
You don't agitate to work. You go to work. See, that's Bahamian. I want to wait as opposed to just going to wait.
This is man down Wednesday.
Can I make my final point, please?
Go ahead.
Y'all can just talk about whatever.
Go ahead.
My final point is, the things that was told to be human to do, agitate, report.
No, document, you told to go to work, report to
Aaron,
work.
Aaron, let them gentlemen finish, man. I got another call up.
See, persons of liberal content, they always preach about tolerance. Tolerance for everybody else, but they themselves don't practice tolerance. You shut me down, and they cry about mansplaining and them, but they do
I
it themselves.
I never used that word today,
but,
sir.
Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
Go ahead,
I'm
you have
done,
two
yeah?
seconds. You have 2 seconds, go ahead.
My thing is, we try to do it the right way in terms of working. You know, behemoths, this narrative about, oh, behemoths are lazy, they don't like to do jobs. Who are saying this? Aren't you not behemoths too? Don't you work hard? So this narrative that's being pushed about behemoths are lazy, who's the person who's pushing this particular narrative and why? Because if you say behemoths are lazy, then wouldn't you be calling yourself lazy then? Because
I'm not
lazy.
I behemoths were lazy. I never said that, caller.
But thank you very much,
caller. No. I'm saying, not you. I'm saying it's a narrative that's being pushed out there. Which was being pushed out there for decades. Oh, lazy behemoths don't know what worked or whatever. And I'm saying
It's called the drug era. I mean, let's bring some context to the conversation, caller.
Okay. Producer, let me go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Hello, caller? There's nobody? No? I see blinking. Nothing? Okay, so I want to continue, right? And I was enjoying the exchange Aaron was having with the caller, you know, and that mutual respect. But I want to know, and no one has answered yet, about this defense force thing, right? I understand that the minister said that we more likely will go, right? I believe that it might be a mistake. I believe it's a mistake because it will cause frustration between the Haitian Bohemians and the Bohemians here if there's any casualties. I think that Haiti is unstable at this present time, and I believe that we should be the last one to go in. Let the United States, they have spare people, let them go in first, you know, and let the Europeans do what they got to do, and when they finish, we'll go in next. Anyone have any comment? Let me ask Luby.
I mean, the United States is going.
First, I want them going first.
Well, they're going in first, and you know, secondly, we don't know exactly what is being asked of our Defense Force officers. What role exactly are they going to play in Haiti? When you talk about Haiti, automatically people think, you know, and see Port-au-Prince and go to the news and look at what the conventional media is pushing out there. And I always say this about Haiti. I think the Haitian government, and a lot of Haitian people do a poor job in marketing Haiti. So that people understand that Port-au-Prince within itself is not the country, just like Nassau isn't the Bahamas. And so if you're allowing the media to just push Port-au-Prince, to promote barbecue and this gang leader and the other gang leader, then people are going to think that that is the only thing that is happening in Haiti and in Port-au-Prince. I have family members right now who I speak to every day that are living and residing in Port-au-Prince. I, over the past few months, have visited Haiti over 2 times. I plan to go Haiti again. You see what I'm saying? We have Bahamas Air flights.
You brave.
We have at least 4 to 5 different airlines that go to Haiti.
Still flying?
Flying to Haiti from Nassau on a weekly basis.
These people crazy.
Into Caribbean.
The news
flies from Haiti to Provo. To Nassau every single day.
Let me go to these texts, though.
Let's not talk about New York and Miami and all of these other places.
Aaron, read those texts.
And so we can't allow the media to paint the picture for us.
I agree, these pensions for life are killing the country. They should select the people for government general and let the voters vote and decide who becomes the next governor general. I'm going to slide up to the top. If you don't hear your text, I'm going from the top down. Y'all Haitians are too bigoty and rude and arrogant, ungodly, and y'all need to come with this argument to the Dominican Republic. Okay, dear text up.
No, not for you, that.
Luby, that ain't for you.
I still upset
I didn't
that Ian.
To him.
Ian
no, you're not gonna respond.
But Aaron, I still upset that Ian said he's an organic behemoth that leaves a tree of us out. Because me, no, he's a minority and I ain't vaccinated. Though. He right. believe I ain't talk about that later on. He's an organic behemoth. Face.
Another text, Mr. Newry, please. Okay. This text, dear texter, you really sent this? I'm gonna read it. Mr. Nuri, please let Luby go on the front line with the Defense Force. So if Luby go in, then I must have to go with him. Ain't nothing like a miserable woman who don't like man. That's what it is, Ian, right? I don't like man. Send me with Luby if you're going
to
send Luby.
Listen, let the government give me one nice consultancy contract and I'll be glad to go to Haiti.
You won't get paid.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I'll go. Okay. I'm a Bahamian. I can't go for free.
Luby, this is about
they ain't getting free.
So you're afraid of being kidnapped?
I was in the belly of the beast the last time I was on with Aaron. I talked about being in the areas in which the media is portraying to be the worst. I was there for over a month on mission with the United Nations.
So you're saying it wasn't as bad as they portrayed?
It is bad, and it's gotten worse. But I was there. I've been there. I just, about 2 months ago, I was there.
Let me get back to my Texas, please. Let's go ahead.
This is about the farm discussion. It doesn't matter that they expanded because they're working. It's the authorities' responsibility, i.e. the government, whose job it is to secure our land, our country, and provide security for our people. The laws are being broken. Never too late to apply the law today. An injunction is being violated. We must enforce our laws. The permit workers, employers need to be held accountable today.
Agreed.
Send the message by enforcing law.
But that was my point.
Hold on. But that was the point that I was making too. Is that where does the crisis sit? Does it sit with the influx of migrants? But we can't even determine whether that has increased significantly over the last 10 years, or does it sit with the collapsing government systems?
But what you did take in consideration also is that Abaco is an area where a lot of expats migrate to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those foreigners that are living in Abaco are the employers.
Well, but they're hiring people that are in Abaco.
But they don't mind if you come to work. But how do they?
But who is?
They foreigners themselves.
Who is in Abaco? Abaco been like this for decades. Who is in Abaco daily checking work permits? Who is in Abaco at the airport documenting the movement of people in and out of Abaco? See, exactly. Abaconians are suffering and Bahamians are suffering from their own vices. We like slackness too much. We have enjoyed slackness. To the caller who said that people keep calling Bahamians lazy. No, people don't keep calling Bahamians lazy. We keep saying that Bahamians are stuck.
Do your job.
No, they are stuck in the drug culture of the drug era and have not been sufficiently motivated to see that the environmental, the economic environment has shifted entirely and it is no longer that type of party. The way to deal with the migrant crisis is to go to work. And when you ain't working,
who's going to work?
Everybody. Every single body,
Aaron, you just said that we need to document who's coming in the airport. We need to have immigration
down
on the ground.
Who could do
we
it?
Need to have the Ministry of Labor.
But she's
we
making
need to have
your
all
point,
of these people. I'm just saying.
She's making your point of enforcement.
We need it.
Anyway, we got to go on the break. And I see you, caller. As soon as we come back, I'm going straight to you, caller. So bear with me until we do this break. And I'll make sure Aaron be quiet for 30 seconds and have you have a word in. Man down. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man. We could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in AM. And like I promised, I'm going to go straight to the caller, and then I'm going to go to the text after that. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for holding. I know you've been holding for a while. Go ahead, caller. Turn on your radio there.
Okay. Look, all these agents are stalking away.
Have mercy.
You know, we need justice, law, and order in this country. But the thing is, right? Now, I agree with Aaron when it comes to the drug situation, right? The thing is that that drug did a lot of wrong to our country. And not only that, the police has record whereby the drugs and the guns and some guns, some drugs, plenty of drugs and guns was coming from Haiti. But what I want to say, right? Now, we as Bahamian, we try to clean up our country, some of us. And I think the thing is, if anybody would want to clean up their country, they don't need to get paid to clean up their country because, from my point of view, this is our country, this is my country. I'm living here. I got to live here. My family lives here. So I want the best for my country. And if Luby has family in Haiti, I think he should take the right in going there without have to be paid by the behavior.
So Bremen, you okay with Rodney Monker getting paid, but I can't get paid?
To be compromising by taking care of other people and nothing are happening for us.
I appreciate you, Bremen. Now let's go to my text. Aaron, you have all these texts ready?
Yeah, I got a text. Yeah, somebody texted earlier about the commercial driver's license. They're very concerned. They feel like newer drivers and people who may have been driving for 30 years but without the certifications are being taken advantage of. The cost of the training required for the certification costs too much money, and they're concerned about that. That's one of the questions that I raised when we were talking about that
today.
Right, because it's not the cost of the fee itself. It must be the cost of the classes that are being put on by a third-party contractor. And so that's the space that you go into. You got to go to the Minister of Works and the Minister of Labor and ask, why does that cost so much money? But I saw a trailer driver slide through a roundabout with a cell phone in his hand yesterday, so y'all need to train it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only question is, why does it cost so much money?
They just beat the road by.
And is it a barrier, you know, to your going on? Okay, another text. Great show as usual. No one is getting comfortable with Rodney getting paid. That was the text. Another text. Didn't Luby get deported from the Bahamas as a child? Dear texter. Don't say things like that.
But don't worry about
it. Be more responsible. Another text. Aaron, whether the Bahamians shift or not, the problem is that the illegals are a problem. Why are we calling them irregular? The people has voiced their concerns, and we have informed our government we must cause and demand them to act for us, bottom line. I don't think I said anything different than that. Mm-hmm. I pointed directly at where the crisis sits. CA say, Lord, have mercy on the last caller. CA need Jesus. I mean, me too. Great show as usual. The RBDF officers going to Haiti, in my opinion, is a suicide mission. They ain't coming back.
Let's speak life. Coming back.
Y'all see what's going on down there. I would not go. My reflex too slow and I too smart.
But naturally people would think that and have that concern, though.
Yeah,
because of the media. Yes.
It looks violent.
I totally understand this.
The PM was not, the MP was not reckless. These people are illegal or participating in an illegal activity.
How does he know that they are illegal? That is my question for
all Haitians or who speak Creole are illegal into the Bahamas.
Even the ones with Bahamian passports.
Even ones with Bahamian passports or who been here for years.
Luby, the texter said that you revealed that to the Bahamian people years ago. I don't want to say no more. The next text says, this won't be the first time our defense force is sent to Haiti. They were there in the 90s with the UN, I think. We all.
Did they had gang wars like this in the 90s? No. This is a different type.
Right. The Prime Minister, Brave Davis, invited them here during his campaign.
Propaganda.
Okay, yeah, because they've been here a long time, older than me. Aaron, please let the callers finish their thoughts, please. okay, Detex, I could be honest with you. He got a lot of time to talk. He was a little rude. He took the notch up, and I just met him with the energy that he brought and attempting to add context to his and my contributions that he was critiquing. Another text, morning, Lady Green and guest. Bahamas is British, Bahamian, and Haiti is French. Haiti with independence from France. So what is the relationship between the Bahamas and Haiti, and why must we be responsible for them?
But I'm British, though. I'm Bahamian.
The Bahamian people needs to know ASAP from Grand Bahama. We are listening. What? Why must we be responsible for them?
I don't think nobody's saying that.
But for Haiti, we would all be enslaved people right now. How come you won't let your guest speak and finish? I let my guest speak and finish. He did he mansplained me to pieces, Texter. I don't mind people coming to work. We're earning $30 million plus in work permits. But why can't we do permits but forbid their families to come? That's where a lot of the problems are coming from. Overcrowded schools, overcrowded medical facilities, and illegal housing. I get a question. If we remove all of the undocumented migrants from the country, is NIB going to survive?
No.
And maybe that's what's motivating
the government. Let's think and talk about
actions. The situation.
Of course they're paying it. Permit holders. Everybody got to pay.
Aaron, I know you have text, but I want to
cannot
take,
be renewed.
I want to take this last caller. I want to take this last call and give him 30 seconds when we see how we go with the rest of text.
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone to call again. Go ahead, text caller.
Yes. Good morning. Listen here. Why don't we take the folks from Long Island, send them to Abaco? You will never have another Haitian problem in the country because there's no Haitian shanty town in Abaco. That's what all the other islands have shanty town. Long Island don't have any. And it's all the Bahamians are allowing this to happen. They know who's illegal. They know where it's coming from. And it's a money take from the top to the bottom. Until we have honest people doing what they're supposed to do, because no way the shanty town is supposed to build up in Abaco like that. We don't have, I have a Haitian family I am 67 from the 60s, and we used to eat out the same place. So I have no problem with Haitians, but when you come in illegally, that's the problem. But Long Island doesn't have any, so let every other island take what Long Island is doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to pretend like the Long Island ethic just started yesterday. It is amazing. Long Islanders do the work.
Yeah.
There's no space for Haitians.
I ain't prepared to weed no yard no more.
Do the work.
I just let you know.
We don't have to go back.
I don't work
sun. We don't have to go back 400 years to when the Haitian mulattoes fled. Hold on. When they fled Haiti and came here.
No need to tell history, Aaron.
And then bread of. Oh, because the people don't know it.
Yeah, but Aaron, I'm not prepared to work in the sun no more. I get educated for that. You know how dark I was in high school? You see how light-skinned I is now? And they want me to do like Long Islanders and go weed? Never. It ain't going to happen. Let's see if we can do two more texts before we go.
All right. The situation in Haiti is beyond the control of the international arena. The people of Haiti have to solve a serious internal situation. Boko Haram has Nigeria in problems. The region will always be at risk if Haiti does not come to grip with its political situation. Same thing in the Bahamas. Aaron making excuses for Lyle and Mario Moxie.
They
can speak for themselves. Yes. Stop saying another pastor spoke for them. I said I just assumed that they shared the same sentiment. Don't forget the language barrier as it relates to our officers going to Haiti.
That's it. Until next week, Wednesday, then we have our panel again. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri and Aaron Green. And we had guest co-hosts with us with Luby Georges and Ian Munnings. And we enjoyed ourselves. I was thoughtful and provocative until tried to mansplain Aaron.
It's a Smackdown Wednesday.
Man Down Wednesday.
Man Down Wednesday. Have a good day.